JC Corcoran Podcast.
Girl, oh girl, you're looking so fine tonight, girl. And I told you I'd make love to you all night long.
All night long.
But girl,
girl, ooh, girl,
let's try to be realistic, girl. Nobody really makes love all night long.
That's impossible.
Though that would be impressive, girl. It's a little bit excessive, girl.
Too much.
And it would probably get uncomfortable to be that sexual.
Chafing.
And don't forget that we have work tomorrow.
8 a.m.
So we should really make sure we get some sleep. But girl,
girl,
I'll make love to you the best I can. But it's not gonna last real long.
Honesty.
Well, I apologize in advance. I can probably give you 7 minutes.
7 minutes.
If you don't move around too much. Otherwise, I'll probably give you 4 minutes.
4 minutes.
Cause when you move, I get excited, girl. And hey,
hey,
is it cool if I leave my shirt on, girl? Cause I just had a big dinner.
Boston Market.
And I'm struggling with some negative body issues. Girl, I would love nothing more than to make sweet honey dip love to you till the break of dawn. But unfortunately, sex is something that I'm just not very good at. So please, girl, just try not to laugh at me, no matter how awkward this gets. Girl,
girl,
let's talk sexual positions, girl. I hope you like the missionary.
Tried and true.
Cause that's the only one that I'm really comfortable with. And girl, just one more quick little thing, girl. Please feel free to fake an orgasm.
I won't know.
Cause that'll make me feel like I'm doing well. Oh, girl.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Wednesday, the 29th of September, here at jcontheline.com. I had to miss the whole first half of the Cardinal game last night. And by the way, I said Cardinal game, and somebody sent me a note saying it's Cardinals game, because it is not the St. Louis Cardinal, it is the St. Louis Cardinals. And I thought to myself, well, in a way, this guy's right, and at the same time, doesn't sound right. So, you know, no matter what you say or what you do these days, somebody's going to take issue with it. But I was in the screening of the Many Saints of Newark, which I saw last night. Tomorrow is going to be a cool day here at jcontheline.com, the JC Corcoran podcast. It is going to be Sopranos Day. So in addition to my review of the Many Saints of Newark, we're also going back to the archives for Dr. Melfi, Lorraine Bracco, Little Steven, who played Silvio. And by the way, the guy who plays the younger version of Silvio got some really, really big laughs last night. There's some hairpiece jokes early on that are pretty funny. And also Neil Sean from Journey, who will tell his story about the involvement of the band. And of course, Don't Stop Believing in the final episode of The Sopranos. So all of that tomorrow. So if you're a Sopranos fan, I think you'll enjoy tomorrow's show. I think you will enjoy basking in the reflected glory of your St. Louis Cardinals, who not only made it 17 straight last night, but also officially clinched a playoff berth. But you already know that. You know, during the steroids era, you know, going back, 15 years ago, I would frequently say, as a Major League Baseball player gets older, you don't see their stats going up. You see them going down. Slowly, their skills begin to diminish, and sort of that's the end of that until finally they hang up their spikes. And that was one of the major clues, like you needed a lot more clues. Mark McGuire was bursting out of his fucking uniform, for God's sakes. But that was one of the big clues out of this whole thing. It's like, you know, all of a sudden numbers are going up. Guys who are 40 years old, numbers are going up. Well, it seems there always is an exception to the rule. And the exception to the rule this year appears to be Adam Wainwright, who is doing things out there on the field that a 40-year-old guy shouldn't be able to do. But I'm telling you, he's outsmarting these hitters. He's outsmarting them. He's not blowing guys away. But I will tell you this. I can be the best hitter in baseball, and I don't want to walk up to the plate with Adam Wainwright standing on the mound and Yadier Molina in the catcher's box. I don't want to be in that position because I know that both of these guys know every strength, every weakness I have, and they've already addressed it. They've already discussed it. They already know how they're going to play to my weaknesses. And as Yogi Berra once said, 90% of this game is 50% mental. But I will say this, coming back to the movie last night, I had to listen to about two innings of the Cardinal game on radio, and John Rooney is as good as ever. But, you know, I can't get away from Ricky Horton. I watch the games on TV, and it's like, oh, shit, it's Ricky Horton tonight. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'll be in the car for a couple of innings. At least I'll go, well, he's there too. And on a couple of the home runs late in the game, Ricky Horton, when he gets excited, his voice gets really, really high. And I thought he was going to crack my fucking windshield last night on a couple of those home runs. He's just swinging a long fly ball. And I asked my dog what happened because it was out of my frequency response range. So if you're making your plans for next Wednesday for the wild card game, it looks like it would be the Cardinals, either the Dodgers or the Giants the last time I checked. So that will most likely be the late game. So it's the only thing I don't like about the postseason playoff structure is you get a lot of these games on channels you don't even know if you have. You gotta look, honey, do we have FS1? And they play a lot of games till like, you know, noon and, you know, 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I feel terrible for people who, you know, want to see the games and they're stuck at work. See, you would never catch the National Football League doing something like that. They would never do that because too many of the people running Major League Baseball right now are stupid because they think baseball has got to turn into the NCAA Final Four with a bunch of disco music and just dum, 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 you know, and just blasting between every pitch, and they're forcing the DH on us. And they concocted this goofy, well, the 7-inning doubleheader games, that seems to be going over pretty well. But this idea of just sticking a man on second base, come on, play baseball, play baseball. You know, I really do think there was a seismic shift in this country when at least it was perceived that Major League Baseball was replaced by the NFL as the national pastime. Now, I got a bunch of issues with that. It's like, okay, every Sunday the ratings are through the roof, and when you look at the top 10 shows every fall, usually 4, 5, 6 of those shows are NFL games. They have huge, huge television audiences, and obviously they're filling up 60 and 70,000 seat stadiums, and there's lots of other factors that you take into consideration when you are evaluating and trying to assess the impact of a particular sport on that particular society. And this all started about 20 years ago when people just started saying, well, you know, baseball has been replaced now. It's the NFL. The NFL has taken over as the national pastime. Well, like I said, I got a couple of issues with that. And let's start with this. Baseball plays 162 games spread over you start in late March and you're having your victory parade for the World Series winner in November, okay? So that's April, May, June, July, August, September, October. Let's just say 7 months. So baseball playing almost every day for 7 months, as opposed to fewer than 20 games every Sunday in the fall. September, October, November, December, January. 5 months. Once a week. So I've often said, when the NFL can prove to me that they can get 30, 40,000 butts in their seats almost every night spread across a 7-month period, that's when you can tell me you're the national sport. Does baseball have problems? You bet. Serious problems. And a lot of them they're not addressing, by the way. We live in an information era, and yet I can't get anybody in Major League Baseball to even listen to me when I talk about this business of things going on the field, decisions that are being made, conferences on the field, umpires together. Somebody points to something else. There's a play, and you're going back to second, and you're going back to first. What the fuck is going on? Tell us. Hockey and football, you got a microphone on the referee. He clicks it, and he explains what the fuck is going on. And for whatever reason, baseball refuses to do this. And so a lot of times the announcers don't even know what's going on. They're guessing. It's like, well, we'll try to find out what's going on. Why should the broadcasters have to, quote, try and find out? Why should, you know, 40,000 people in the ballpark and another couple hundred thousand people watching on television be sitting there going, well, I don't understand what's going on. What happened? Tell us. Put a goddamn microphone on the field. Let the umpire walk over and say, okay, here's what happened. We were discussing this and this and this, and we decided that this, and we talked to both managers, and this is what's going to happen, and there you go. There's your explanation. Now let's play ball. And Major League Baseball is like, well, we're trying to speed up the game. Let's speed up the game, widen the strike zone, and get this over with already. And this thing with the DH, again, as I've said, they're like, well, we want uniformity. It's like, you want uniformity? Get rid of the DH in the American League, and you got your uniformity. But there's more going on than that, because I think that with the shift towards football from baseball, I think it says a lot about who we are as a nation, what we have become. You know, go stand outside in front of Busch Stadium before a game and you watch people going in. And yeah, I know there's a bunch of loudmouth drunks and stuff like that here and there. But for the most part, it's families. You know, you see a father holding on to a little, you know, five-year-old kid's hand. People are eating hot dogs and cotton candy. You have the seventh inning stretch. People are singing. Now, go stand in front of a stadium on a Sunday before the football game. Well, first of all, people have been drinking since 5 a.m. Instead of families going into the game, by and large, what you see is packs of overweight goons. They're wearing jerseys, you know, to support their team, and probably because they think it makes them look like maybe former football players, when in fact, no, you're just fat. That's all. And then you get into the game, and depending on where you are, whether your team is winning or losing, and how many drunks are in your section, you know, you go to the game thinking to yourself, am I going to have to fight somebody today who just doesn't like the looks of me after they've had about 67 beers? And more we are seeing these YouTube videos and stuff posted on social media where people go to a football game and they're getting video of these brawls. And again, it's not that it's anything new. They've always been the case. And yes, they have them at some baseball games. I'm not saying they don't. But what I'm saying is it's much more prevalent in football crowds. And it would be very easy for the NFL to just put out some PSAs that basically say, look, you know, if you're going to go to the game, can you try to enjoy it without having a big brawl and without, you know, drinking since 5 a.m.? You get to the game and you forget he was even playing. You know, just have some, you know, very famous, very popular former NFL stars, maybe even current NFL stars, maybe some celebrities who are, you know, associated with football, and just, you know, have them record some stuff. Now, you'll say, well, that's not the problem. So the problem isn't the people watching at home. Yeah, because they're at the game. All right, they'll hear about it. They'll hear about it. They could also put them on the big jumbotrons. You know, they're building these ridiculously garish stadiums with the latest available technology where you're seeing images the size of Godzilla. Okay, cut some PSAs and put them up there during halftime and stuff, saying, look, we want you to enjoy the game. Go crazy. You know, have a great time out here. But please don't fight. Please. That's not good for anybody. See, but to do that, the NFL would have to admit that a problem exists. And they won't do that. We're the NFL. We don't do anything wrong. And you can see where this is going. Somebody's going to have to get killed, you know, or you know, put in a wheelchair for the rest of their lives. And then, you know, and then it'll be too late. Now, a long, long time ago, George Carlin did this bit, and it's one of his most famous. But what I want you to do this time when you hear it, don't listen to it like it's a comedy routine. Listen to it in the context that we were just discussing here, the difference between baseball and football. But don't look at it as an entertainment piece. Look at it from the standpoint of there having been a seismic cultural shift in this country.
Baseball is pastoral, 19th century. Football is technological, 20th century. Baseball is played on a diamond in a park, the baseball park. Football is played on a gridiron in a stadium, War Memorial Stadium. In baseball, you wear a cap. In football, you wear a helmet. Baseball has a seventh inning stretch. Football has a 2-minute warning. Baseball has no time limit. We don't know how long it's going to last. We might have extra innings. Football is rigidly timed, and it will end even if we have to go to sudden death. Football is based on downs. What down is it? Baseball is based on ups. Who's up? Are you up? I'm not up. In football, you get a penalty. In baseball, you make an error. Whoops. In baseball, in the stands, there's something of a picnic feeling. Emotions may run high, but there's not that much unpleasantness. In football, in the stands, you can be sure that at least 27 times during the game, you were capable of taking the life of a fellow human being. Preferably a stranger. And to sum this up, the objects of the game's quite different. The object of the game in football is for the quarterback, otherwise known as the field general, to be on target with his aerial assault, riddling the defense by hitting his receivers with deadly accuracy in spite of the blitz, even if he has to use the shotgun. With short bullet passes and long bombs, he marches his troops into enemy territory, balancing this aerial assault with a sustained ground attack which punches holes in the forward wall of the enemy's defensive line. In baseball, the object is to go home.
It's one of the greatest comedy bits ever, but when you listen to it in a different context, it's not so funny after all, is it? St. Louis Police Department finally did what I've been yakking about for 3.5 decades. They finally put an additional 30 officers on duty downtown for these big events, these big sporting events and everything, and maybe it will improve things. I was at Costco yesterday, I don't want to say which one, and I was wearing a t-shirt that says Joe 2020. That's it. Now, you go to Costco during the day, especially the middle of the day where the retirees are in there, and all you see is MAGA hats everywhere. MAGA hats everywhere you look. Well, I had my Joe 2020 shirt on yesterday, and you guessed it. A couple of guys were following me in the store. They didn't know who I was. They were following me in the store. And you know, typical goons, you know, about 6'2", 6'3", big pot bellies, guys who appeared to be in their 50s, maybe 60s. And I came up an aisle and around a corner, and they were both standing there. Oh, nice shirt. What'd you do, lose a bet? And I just sort of stood there for a minute and just looked at them, and they were of the opinion, as all of these MAGA people are, that Democrats are all pussies. Therefore, you can be in a public situation and just yell something at somebody with whom you disagree politically, and they'll just take it. So you can imagine their surprise when my response was, why don't you go fuck your mother? And then they just kept walking and still yelling stuff at me as they went. Again, these situations, you know, more and more, I leave the house every day thinking to myself, am I going to have to fight somebody? All right, I'm tired talking about this icky stuff. Let's have some fun. Oh, Bill Cosby, not surprisingly, thinks R. Kelly was railroaded. Both men are victims of, quote, an assault on successful black men who are doing great things, end quote. The organizers of this weekend's Women's March in Washington, D.C. are banning Handmaid's Tale costumes. They say it creates racial and class divisions. Next Monday night is Britney Spears night on Dancing with the Stars. Obviously, everybody is going to be dancing to a Britney song because why not exploit her while sending the message that you're against exploiting her? I don't know what's going on here. People always want to know about money. They want to know about, like, how much does somebody make, especially if you're in show business entertainment. For example, I found out that Flo, the comedian from the Progressive insurance commercials, makes about $8 million a year doing those things. And at the same time, Lily, who I am absolutely in love with, the AT&T girl. You know, she's doing the commercials now while she's standing behind a table because she got tired of people fat shaming her. So she said, I'm going to do the commercials, and you're not going to be able to see the middle of my body. She is
what would the word be? Zoftic? No, not really, because she's not, because she's short. She's stocky. I happen to love her figure, but apparently a lot of people don't, and they've been sending stuff to her and on social media really, really mean, calling her fat. She has absolutely monstrous boobs, and she's really short, but she's really, really good at what she does. People won't leave her alone. Anyhow, she's making $500,000. At least that's the number I have, and that doesn't seem right. How can Flo be making $8 million and then Lily with all those commercials? That's got to be wrong. Monica's apartment on Friends would have been $1.9 million. The McAllister's house in Home Alone, $1.6 million. The Simpsons house, by the way, about $484,000. As I said, tomorrow is going to be our Sopranos show, including Lorraine Bracco, Little Steeman, and Neil Sean from Journey. You're going to see lots and lots of people from this movie, The Many Saints of New York, and I'll have my review tomorrow. Michael Gandolfini, Tony Soprano, in the Sopranos sequel. Although I will tell you, James Gandolfini's son is really, he didn't really pop up in the movie, that version of him, because they have several versions of him as he's growing up. But the adolescent version of Tony Soprano doesn't really show up until about maybe 45 minutes left in the movie. The Many Saints of Newark, opening Friday at a theater near you. And then on Colbert, Alessandro Nivola from the movie is going to be on along with Anita Hill. How about that? And then you go to James Corden and Leslie Odom Jr., who is also in the movie, is going to be in there. Jimmy Kimmel, by the way, LL Cool J, Seth Meyers has Demi Lovato. I think everybody knows that James Gunn, the director of Guardians of the Galaxy, and before somebody calls to correct me, it's Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Okay, so he's from St. Louis, was actually married to Jenna Fischer for a while. They split up. She's seeing somebody else. He went his own way. He got canceled for a while there because of some stuff that he said a long time ago. Anyhow, he's back in the director's chair right now. And we had him on the air when I was on KTRS a couple of years back. We had him in the studio. He's a good guy. Full of energy. Full of energy. I will tell you that. One of his brothers, by the way, is one of Bill Maher's writers on HBO. Anyhow, a fan has been sending James Gunn the same message for over 2 years. And the message is this: so will you put a ferret in Guardians of the Galaxy 3? I know you saw this. I'm from St. Louis too. Do it for the homies. So if, when Guardians of the Galaxy 3 comes out, a ferret inexplicably shows up in the movie, you'll know why. What's that you say? There's not enough law and order in your life? Well, how about this? NBC rebooting the original series, which was canceled in 2010. Oh, and Curb Your Enthusiasm, season 11. Got a kickoff date here of October 24th. We talked about Saturday Night Live yesterday. You've got to hear this. You've got to hear this. They have a new cast member, and he does Donald Trump.
Bowser was somebody who, you know, sometimes he would just stay in the castle, and sometimes he'd come down and be very mad, but sometimes he would be our friend. Now you look at Bowser, and he's bigger than he's ever been. I mean, Bowser is furious. They call it Bowser's Fury, and he's bigger than he's ever been. I mean, that's a big Bowser when you look at it. That's a really big Bowser. And who is Joe sending? Cat. Cat Mario. They're sending Cat Mario. They're sending Cat Mario, and we would have hit Bowser so hard. We would have gotten the Halo guy. We would have done maybe Sonic. We might even be looking at Mr. Sonic to come in and help us with this very big Bowser. It's a bigger Bowser than anyone's ever seen. And it's so huge. I remember when Bowser was just sort of a guy you'd kind of, only sometimes you would do a little go-kart race with. You know, we would play tennis with him. He was someone we played tennis with. And now under Joe, we got a bigger Bowser than you've ever seen. He's so big and he's so furious. And they call it Bowser's Fury. And they're doing a Bowser's Fury with Bowser, and it's not so good. And I remember when Mario was, you know, he's a little guy. He's a little guy. Used to be a lot smaller. Well, we bumped him up, and now he never shrinks anymore, does he? You haven't seen Mario shrink. He stays the same size, frankly, and now he just changes his hats or something. By the way, the last time when they had Mario, I thought it was so stupid. You would change his clothes, and nothing would change. No power-ups or anything. He's just, oh, well, he's wearing shorts. What's the superpower? He's got the shorts on. It's the best we could do. He's got the shorts on. So we're going in and out of the pipes. You know, maybe he's 2D sometimes, but We really don't enjoy that anymore because there's no, what is there? No challenge. There wasn't any challenge in that with 2D. So we didn't do the 2D anymore. I pulled the plug on it. No more new Super. No more new Super because you know what the new was old. The new was old. It was just the same thing on the side. You know, he's running left and right. But we like it from behind. We love it from behind.
I think that guy is going to do pretty damn well. And, of course, Saturday Night Live returns to your very own television set coming up on Saturday night. All right, birthdays today. The guy who is going to play Kurt Warner in American Underdog being released on Christmas Day, Zach Levi, is 41. Andrew Dice Clay, 64. I'm going to tell you a story about him sometime. We're running a little low on time today. I might have to wait. Mark Farner, Grand Funk, 73. Good guy. Brian Gumbel, 73. Ian McShane from Deadwood and Game of Thrones. And We Are Marshall. Oh, God, forgot about that. He's 79. Jerry Lee Lewis, The Killer, is 86. Right after I left Omaha, Nebraska, and went to Washington, D.C., there was a period of about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months that I was living at my parents' house in Chicago. This was back in 1982 while I was waiting to go work with Howard Stern at D.C. 101. And that was when the Tylenol poisoner thing was happening in Chicago. Total of 7 deaths in the Chicago area over a 2-day period before authorities determined that extra-strength Tylenol capsules had been laced with cyanide. A suspect for the murders was never found, but the tragedy led to the introduction of safety seals on most consumer products. It was 23 years ago today that, you know, we all have our sort of guilty pleasures, television shows, movies, songs that we like, but we're not necessarily always willing to share with other people because you're afraid of being laughed at. I don't care if you laugh at me, go ahead. Season one, 23 years ago in 1998, of Felicity was some of the greatest episodic television ever for people under the age of 40. It was really, really good. And in addition to Kerry Russell, who was pretty damned easy on the eyes, another St. Louis kid, Scott Foley, was in that. According to a new survey, 79% of people have done a favor for a neighbor in the past year, and that's pretty good during a pandemic. In fact, some people say the pandemic has made them more likely to help neighbors. If you are thinking about a Halloween costume as we close in here on the 1st of October, here are the top 10 costumes for adults this year. Witch, vampire, ghost, cat, pirate, Batman, zombie, Superman, the Joker, and a tie between Spider-Man and Dracula. Avengers characters also made the list. Top 10 costumes for kids: Spider-Man, a princess, Batman, other random superheroes, a witch, a ghost, pumpkins? What kid goes as a pumpkin? Superman, a zombie, and the Avengers. And the 10 most common costumes for pets this year: a pumpkin, a hot dog, a superhero, a cat, a bumblebee, a ghost, a bat, a lion, a dog, and a witch. Devil and pirate also ranked high. Hey, if you want a cheap outfit for a pet, if you own a yellow lab, you get some clear plastic and then you go buy a box of Twinkies and you paint on the plastic the Twinkies logo and some of the other stuff in the wrapper, and then you put that on your yellow lab and the damn thing looks like a damn Twinkie. We did that with our yellow lab Harry years and years and years ago. And by the way, in this survey, they also found households with kids will spend an average of $147 on Halloween this year. Households without kids will spend about half of that, just under $74. The overall average is about $103. And an early poll on holiday shopping found experiences might be more popular than physical gifts this year. The top thing we want to get is a vacation-related gift, or money for flights and hotels. The number one thing we want to give is anything that creates a memorable experience, like tickets to a concert or a sporting event. This usually doesn't work, but you might want to try it anyhow if you can get your hands on some Cardinal playoff tickets. You put those in an envelope, you hand them over and go, Merry Christmas, a couple of months early. All right, go Cardinals, go, go, go. Let's grab another one here. And then we'll get ready for our Sopranos show tomorrow with Lorraine Bracco, Little Steven, Neil Sean, and my review of The Many Saints of Newark, which I saw last night. So that'll be on tomorrow's show. Thank you very much for spreading the word about the J.C. Corcoran podcast. We are here every morning. We publish at about 7 o'clock Monday through Friday. It's absolutely free. We archive all the shows. Email me at jc@jconline.com, Facebook, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.